From the Paley Center for Media in New York, this is Max Media. Here's Max Robbins.
Hi, everybody. It's my pleasure to be here today with Avner Ronin. Avner, for those of you who don't know, and I think you're going to know soon, he is basically the head guy, the top guy, the supremo, the president of Boxy. And we're going to have him tell us a little bit about what Boxy is. If you haven't seen the application, it's a great way to watch all sorts of content on your TV set, on your computer, and I guess pretty soon on your iPad. So, yeah. Avner, tell us a little bit about what you got going.
So thanks for having me here on the, what do you call it, Max?
Max Media.
Max Media.
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, I like it.
The only name I think you probably like better is Avner Media.
So Boxy is a software that enables you to watch any video you'd like, either from the internet or from your home network. So we assume there's a growing number of people that for them the internet becomes their main source of video. And for those people, it's going to be very important to watch it on their biggest screen, which is their TV screen. So we built that user experience that enables them to watch anything they like from any website. And if they have stuff in their home, you know, DVD collection or music or photos, they can watch that as well, all using their remote control. And, you know, we're going to come out with the first device that is running our software in November.
Oh, I want to talk about the Boxy Box in a minute, but first, you all launched about 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, if you don't have it, if you haven't downloaded it, anybody who's in listening distance of this podcast here, download it now. I mean, it's a great, great, great service. How many people actually do you have any idea how many people have downloaded it?
Yeah, registered users, we have about 1.3 million people. Most of them, the way they use it is they download it to their laptop or computer and then hook up the computer to the TV. So you need to feel comfortable doing that type of setup, but once you're set up, then you can, you know, lean back and use, you know, an Apple remote or your iPhone as a remote, or a Windows Media Center remote, and then navigate the UI and stream whatever you like.
Will it work with my Apple TV box?
It works on the old Apple TV, not on the new Apple TV. The new Apple TV, it's a different operating system. And, you know, we haven't hacked the old Apple TV. It was a couple of guys from North Carolina that have done it, and people have loved it. But we would much rather have it that Apple opens up the platform and we can just run it as a proper app.
Go in the front door instead of and run the system. Well, pretty soon you're going to be selling the Boxy Box, and I, from what I understand, you can pre-order it now.
Yeah, pre-order on Amazon. It's actually have done very well when it launched. It went up to, I think, number 4 overall in electronics. So there is a lot of people really waiting for that device to come out. It's D-Link is making the device, and that's going to be the first Boxy device. Hopefully, one of many.
Wow! What's this going to set me back?
$199.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. No.
Now, I understand. You were at a New York video meetup, I think, the other night, and from what I understand, from people who've seen the prototype, that you really can't set anything on top of it. It's
true.
Made so you can't stack it, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a bold design, I would say. So it's, you know, it's a small cube, but it has a pointy top, so it really, it's very, what we like to say is that it's friendly to be stackable, but it has to be on top.
Has to be your first choice of how you're gonna watch video on your screen, whatever screen that might be.
Yeah, but it's really, it's beautiful. We think it's like a piece of art. We think that there should be like accessories that are pedestals.
Wow! I really can't wait to test watch it or test.
we're very excited about it. The way it does HD video is amazing. We revamped the user experience, so we hope it's going to be easier and simpler for people. And we're really just waiting to get it out the door. We think it's going to get a great reception.
I want to talk more about that in the space you're in, but first, how did you get into the space you're in? You're Israeli.
Yeah.
I know you spent some time in the military there.
True.
And but I mean, here you are in the kind of the new frontier really of the screen experience. How do you get from point A to point B?
Not by design, you know. It's what happened is I started after I left the Israel Defense Force. I started a company in Israel in Tel Aviv, and then moved to New York because we wanted to serve the U.S. market and raise money here and build a company here. So moved to New York at the end of 1999.
What was that company?
It was an instant messaging service called Odigo. And then we sold that company in 2002, but I stayed in New York. So I've been in New York for the past 11 years. And 3 years ago, when I left my previous company, I was toying with what I want to do next. And one thing that was really frustrating for me was the way I was using my TVs, that I had a computer connected to the TV because I was starting to watch more and more stuff either from my PC or from the internet.
You were becoming a real American couch potato.
Exactly. Actually, the way it really begins is when I moved here in 99, like in Israel, there were like maybe four channels. And I moved to the U.S. and there were like 300 channels. I, you know, just sit, flip through the channels every night. I was amazed. And then TiVo came out just about that time. I got a TiVo. It was another revolution in the way I was watching TV. And then when I connected my computer to the TV, I thought that's yet another huge change in the way I consume media. And using a computer next to my TV, I realized the value of it, but also that it's very challenging in terms of the user experience. And that's where, got together with friends and started building it. Really not knowing much about the media business, the cable business, just trying to figure out something that works for us as users, as consumers.
I mean, you were really looking, you were starting out really with what the consumer experience would be.
Yep.
One of the things I like about Boxy is that you've really integrated social media in it. So you can rate the shows you like. It has that kind of functionality so your friends can know what you're watching and yep. You can really share with them. Was that part of the original concept as well?
Yeah, we thought, what is different in the way people are starting to consume video on the web? And we think one of the biggest differences is that there is this basic level of interaction of sharing and reacting to the stuff that you watch. So that was right there from the beginning. And one of the strongest features we have today in Boxy is that, discovery is a huge challenge, right? It's a challenge when we have 300 channels. It's definitely a challenge when the whole internet is open for you to
watch. How do you find what's cool, what's good, what's going to hold your interest?
Exactly. So there's many answers to that question, but one of them that we find really appealing is that when people put in their Facebook and Twitter, we actually pull from their streams anything that their friends are sharing on Twitter or Facebook, any videos. And that's just, that's a lot. I mean, for you to open the TV and see a bunch of videos from YouTube or Hulu or Netflix that your friend just tweeted about or shared in Facebook, that just makes it easy to start watching something.
What a great experience. And really, it sounds to me like a great opportunity for programmers, whether you're making short video that you're posting on YouTube or on some other site, or whether you're, a major network trying to launch a new show.
Yeah, we think the way shows are going to be promoted and launched is, is going to be very different in the next few years. I mean, it used to be that you could rely on what's the show that was before you to drive some, viewers to your show, and then you spend a lot of money in doing promos and advertising and so on. I think advertising is still going to be crucial, but in the age of DVR, when people are watching it on their own terms, it's very hard to get people acquainted with new shows. So I think what we saw on the web, that today Facebook and Twitter or social media drives as much traffic to content as Google does, I think same will happen with video and with premium video, that people will see what shows their friends are recording, what games they're watching right now, and that's going to drive a lot of traffic to those services.
Certainly hope you're right. We're here with Avner Ronan. He is the president and CEO of Boxy TV, and a wonderful application, and soon to be a set-top box as well.
Yep.
This is Max Media you're listening to. Avner, you do have some competition out there, though.
Oh, a lot of it. when we started the business, Microsoft was in that space. Apple just came out with Apple TV. Yahoo was there with Yahoo widgets. I think Adobe had something. And then there's the cable companies, the PC companies have been doing stuff,
set-top
box companies, TiVo,
Clicker.
Right, everybody. So it's always been a very competitive space. And I think now it's a time where it's like a perfect storm. Everything is ready. People have HD TVs. They have good broadband connections. They have Wi-Fi at the home. There's a lot of great content out there and great quality. So I think it's ready, and everybody is gearing up to compete. And now, you know, the guys that are getting most attention are Apple and Google, with Apple TV and with Google TV. And we kind of think that, you know, if you're thinking between Apple, Google, and Boxy, then you don't have to settle for a great product, which is Apple, or the openness that Google offers. You can go with Boxy and get both. So a great product experience and one that is open for you to watch whatever you want.
But you're up against, I mean, those are two of the most powerful brands.
True.
Globally.
Yeah. And
Man, you got to have some sharp elbows to compete with those guys.
No, we think, you know, first it's, you know, I guess rising tide lifts all boats. So we think the amount of attention that the space is going to get over the next couple of years is going to be amazing. You know, Apple is going to pour advertising dollars into it, Google, Sony, everybody. And I think Boxy, as the underdog small guy, I think will be able to benefit from some of that increased attention. And it's such a huge space, right? It's there's a whole generation growing up that for them, that's what TV is going to be about. It's going to be about seeing what people are watching on Facebook and Twitter and searching and discovering in all new ways. And there is enough, I think, in the market that Apple could be extremely successful, Google could be extremely successful, and Boxy could be extremely successful. So we don't see those as mutually exclusive. As long as we can continue to innovate on the product and execute, we think we control our own destiny.
You know, you have some very successful VCs investing in you. We have great track records.
Right.
I know, I guess Union Square Ventures among them. They've made some pretty smart bets.
Yep.
Obviously, they think you got a shot at this. However, they can be pretty unforgiving, and they want results. Yep. How are you going to monetize Boxy? You making money?
Not yet. We think it's much more important for us right now to focus on product and getting the product in front of people. But we think there is inherent value in the fact that somebody is using Boxy as his way to both discover and consume video. And people are doing it for hours. I mean, definitely when they're at home, but also on computer and an iPad. So we think that as we look at this market and as people transition to the internet being their main source of video, we don't think they'll be spending less money on content. We think they're going to be spending as much as they spend today, if not more. And then what Boxy is going to try and do is going to try and enable some of those transactions to take place.
So in part, you're in the retail business, or will be.
Yeah, I mean, we're more, it's a platform play. So you as a user, you put in your billing information, and then you come across, you know, there's a game streaming live, it's $2 to watch it, or there's a new show and you want to subscribe to it, or a channel, or a bundle of channels, or a season pass for, you know, for a league, that you'll be able to sign up for all these using a remote control very easily. And then Boxy gets a piece of it.
So that does seem to make sense. I think more and more more people are expecting, especially as new generations come up, they're expecting to be able to make prime time their time, and if it's a reasonable price, they'll pay for that convenience.
And I think it's the way it's going to be is that for the stuff that you're really passionate about, you know, whether it's, you know, if you're passionate about baseball or football or an Indian channel or a certain show, or Tribeca Film Festival, and you're paying $40 to stream the movies while they're showing there. You know, each one of us have those interests that he's really passionate about, and I think people will be willing to pay for those experiences, especially that those are going to be superior experiences. So it's going to be in HD, it's going to be less ads, it's going to be interactive, you're going to get additional metadata. Those are going to be great experiences, much better than we know today on TV, which is really, you know, it's much more passive experience.
No, it really is true. The technology does seem to be driving that, and that home experience being a richer one, whether that's with HD or whether that's Skype embedding the ability to have, you know, to video chat with people in other locations and whatnot. It really does make that whole experience richer. Is gaming a big part of what will drive Boxy's success?
We don't know yet. We don't have really gaming today as part of Boxy, but we think it makes perfect sense that, you know, the same thing we've seen with video is going to happen with games. A lot of it is going to move to the cloud. You know, there's a bunch of services now trying to compete in that space, and to us, it's going to be a great opportunity if people can also play increasingly better and better games on Boxy, not just the casual games, not just fantasy sports and poker, but also like real heavy graphics kind of games. And I think the current, probably the next generation of consoles, maybe some of them it's current, it's going to be the last generation of consoles. I think it's going to move to the cloud.
Everything will be in the cloud.
Yeah. So what it's going to mean for your TV screen, which I guess is kind of obvious, is that there's not going to be multiple boxes connected to that screen. It's just going to be one strong processor that's going to be connecting to that big screen that's going to enable you to do music and video and games and whatever you like.
Your basically. Home video or home photo library, whatever it is.
It just, it's just a CPU connected to a screen, and then you have a user experience that enable you to access whatever you'd like. So we think that's definitely where it's going
to
go.
The consumer wants that, though, to be as elegant an experience and as kind of a seamless experience as can be.
People don't care where the content is coming from. They don't care if it's coming over the internet, IPTV, cable, satellite, carried by pigeons, They care about the show, right? They want to watch the show.
I care if it's carried by pigeons because they make them.
They're messy, right? But, really what they care about is they care about, the show that they like, at what quality they get it, and what price. Those are the things that people care about. They couldn't care less about how it's being delivered.
Although there are a lot of folks out there that you guys have clashed with.
Yep.
Famously Hulu, who don't want Hulu on Boxy.
Right.
They want to see you go away. Who's this nuisance? Who's this guy?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of comes with the territory, at least the way we've learned, is that in the media business, in many cases, when something new comes in, that the knee-jerk reaction is it's bad. We don't think we ever have done something that should warrant such a such a reaction from the media companies. It's basically accessing whatever they're putting online, showing their ads, showing their web pages. It just does it on a bigger screen. And truly, we believe that the opportunity is bigger than the risk for them down the road. So over the past, year and a half, we've had, lots of discussions with media companies, and we believe they're starting to, to see the internet as something that is really, there is a real business behind it. I mean, Netflix paying such a big check for Epix, I think, is going to come down as one of the most important events in the internet becoming a real business for the media companies.
Netflix seems to really be ahead of the curve in getting it, and how that kind of seamless streaming of content is essential.
Microsoft has done a deal with Disney on ESPN 3. Apple is starting to write big checks to those media companies, so it's becoming a real business that they can start depending on. When they're doing the business model on what the show or what the movie will make, they can say, okay, that's what the online window is going to look like, and it's not just fear, and it's not analog dollars turning into digital cents. It's it's a real business with new opportunities for new business models, and we think eventually it's going to be one of the platforms that the content companies will love best.
Not too long ago, you were here at the Paley Center for Media. Abner joined us for one of our Media Council lunches, and actually, it wasn't too long after. Somebody's looking for him. Sorry. It's probably some lawyers from Hulu. Hey. Wanting to serve them. Anyway.
With all the noise that have been in the media, we actually never had any legal discussion. It's always been a business misunderstanding in the space. And we hope that this is really behind us.
Do you see a transition, Abner? Do you see a transition that the things are shifting somewhat, that we are... with those legacy media companies, where they are really starting to get it much more so than they did once upon a time? I mean, has there been some? Are we seeing? I hate this expression, so please forgive me. All right. A paradigm shift here?
I'm not sure. Not yet. Probably. I think still the business is driven by the traditional distribution channels. I think everybody has seen what happened with the news business and the music business, and nobody wants a repeat in the video business. So I think they're trying to stay ahead of it. but also they're trying not to disrupt too much themselves. So it's, you know, it's the classic innovator's dilemma. So I think we're getting better. The good thing I think about this this space is the transition is not going to be immediate. You know, it's going to take years and years for internet to become the dominant platform for video content. So it gives years for the media companies to adjust their business and find those business models that work the best for users. So I think some of that fear is not warranted. And I think because checks are starting to get written, that you'll also see some more experimentation. And not just fear, but also real opportunity. So we definitely hope that that's what's going to happen. And we kind of feel that there is a change happening in the past few months.
Interesting. You're listening to Max Media. I'm here today with my guest, President and CEO of Boxy, Avner Ronin. Let me ask you this. I mean, I know this came up when you presented to our media council, which is where there are a lot of legacy media people there, and including some people who are quite involved in digital. There was a sense in the room, though. I know you took a few knocks. They said, best thing that's going to happen to you in this company, although it's great, it's wonderful application, is that somebody comes along and buys you, writes you a big check.
Yeah. You know, the way I feel about it is that, you know, I'm personally not interested in being a serial entrepreneur. So I'm not looking forward to 10 years from now talking with you about my fifth or sixth company. I would much rather speak with you about my, you know, 15-year career in Boxy. And I think that's my attitude. I think that's the attitude of my co-founders. And you talked about our investors. Our investors are not looking for a quick flip with Boxy. They see that there is a huge opportunity. There is the opportunity to build a $1 billion company or north of that with Boxy. So I think we have the patience to build it out. And hopefully, you know, we will be able to decline those early acquisition offers. Rather than take them. So that's my personal view.
One of the things, and I think you are kind of an advocate of this, is that, and it's part of in Boxy's, the concept of Boxy, its design is really listening to the crowd, listening to your audience, and responding to their needs. In the arc since you've launched, what's been kind of the big surprise where they've told you what your business really is?
Well, you know, when we started. And that was, you know, we first launched in, you know, early 2009, our alpha. A lot of the usage was people watching stuff that they had in their home network. And we saw a major shift over the past 2 years for people streaming more and more from online. And I think this is something that's going to continue. I don't think that media that people consume from their computer is going to go away. I think that's going to stay, but I think streaming is for real. I think there is a huge change in the need for ownership. People feel more comfortable with renting, with paying for a subscription that enables them to stream music, but not necessarily own the music. And I think same is coming for video. And that's a big psychological change that I think we're going to see happen. We definitely see it with our users. The other thing that, you know, we saw in our own lives, but also heard a lot from users, is the way they watch TV shows has really changed. People are, rather than following the show necessarily every week for the new episode, they just watch it the whole season.
They want an immersive experience, the same way you'd read a novel over a weekend.
Right. And I think that started with DVDs, but now that shows are much more accessible for you online, and you can hear about the show. You know, somebody tells you that you need to check out Friday Night Lights, and you can, you know, buy the first season, second season, third season, and just get into it. People find that compelling, and I think we've seen it in our users. I think it's going to eventually have an impact in the way people actually are writing those type of shows and stories, because they'll have to account for the fact that many of their viewers are actually viewing it in bulk rather than on every week.
Oh, no, I think you've really keyed on something that we've been tracking here, is this whole idea that I don't think narrative television at its best would be experiencing the kind of renaissance it is, that really, if the technology wasn't allowing it, you wouldn't have shows like Boardwalk Empire or The Wire or whatnot, or Friday Night Lights, that could exist in an old environment where you're really timed to somebody else's schedule when you're going to see it instead of your own.
Yeah.
It's a big
change. And I think it's going to trickle down eventually to the way the content is being produced.
And you see really a very prime opportunity given that for Boxy.
Yeah, for us, we benefit if people spend time, watching content on Boxy, and if they discover it through Boxy as well. So we definitely see stuff like that, people investing their time in great content as being great benefit. And we think that with the change towards the internet, we think there's going to be as much budgets and money out there to produce great quality content, maybe even more, because I think people will be able to do something that they can't really do today, and that's vote with their dollars, not just with their emotes. So if somebody is a big Wire fan, I think people will be paying for the shows they really like to get this immersive extended experience. And I think that would drive content owners to create those more immersive experiences that people are valuing in a way that they're paying for it. I mean, the fact that people are spending so much time and money on stuff like Zynga, or that they're spending $12 a month on World of Warcraft, there's no reason why a show producer cannot create the same type of attention and engagement with the user that somebody's going to pay $5 a month for a show. We really believe that's going to happen. $5 a month.
We mentioned some of the people who kind of don't get it in the business and the legacy media companies that haven't exactly embraced Boxy. Who's embracing it? Who gets it out there? Who are you finding where they're responsive to what you're doing?
So I think in each one of the big media companies, we have friends today. Probably wouldn't have been true about a year ago. But today, I think we're in a position that there's people who get it, or at least get Boxy, I think, in each one of those organizations. The challenge for us is for them to get loud enough or influential enough that they can drive their companies to do more experimentation with stuff like Boxy. The good thing is that we're not fighting this battle on our own, right? Apple, Google, Microsoft, everybody is in this space. So assuming that media companies get comfortable with doing stuff online with Microsoft or with Apple or with Google, that means they'll also get comfortable with Boxy. So I don't think we could have brought about any change on our own. We're just too small. But with these giants sharing a similar agenda, I think we're in a good position to benefit from some of those changes.
Do you think Google TV recently just launched? They're going to make it?
I hope that an Android OS, whether it's Android OS or something like it, is going to be the dominant OS in living rooms, because that's going to enable much more innovation than there is today. Today, if you have a great idea that needs to run on a set-top box, good luck getting it there.
Right.
And one of the big, I think, changes would be to get a much more open architecture there. So, Google is an open architecture. I think Microsoft, if they can get their OS into that space, would be great. And Boxy could run as application on top of those platforms. From what we've seen to date from Google TV, I'm not a big believer as search being the front and center in a TV experience. I think in many cases when people sit down to watch TV, their mindset is more vague than that. They want to watch something, or they want to watch the news, or they want to watch sports. Not necessarily something that they can type into a search bar. And I don't think people want a web TV experience. They don't want to, in my opinion, browse web pages. They want to watch shows. They want to listen to music. They want to watch their photos. They don't want a browser experience, in my opinion, a pure browser experience. They want something that is TV friendly. And that's what we're trying to do in Boxy. And I think our vision is more similar to Google than it is to Apple, I would say. But it's different enough that I think people will have a choice.
Great. Well, let's hope they do. You've been listening to Max Media. We've been here today with our guest, Avner Ronan of Boxy TV. And Avner, thank you so much. It's been a great, great conversation.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Max Media, a production of the Paley Center for Media in New York City. We're on the web at paleycenter.org. That's PALEY center.org. and you can reach us by email at maxmedia@paleycenter.org.